morning's reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading verses 1 to 17. As Matthew opened his Gospel to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, his ministry, he begins with a genealogy. And he writes this: "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. And Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah, and Hezekiah begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah, and Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Elihud, and Elihud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. So far the reading of the scriptures. Dear people of God, you might think, perhaps, that it's an odd way to start a gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not exactly the way to grip people's attention, is it? I mean, that's what we're told in writing in English. You know, if you're going to write something, write, do it in such a way that you grab people by the throat. I mean, not to hurt them, but to capture their attention, right? And so you got them, and now you can tell them whatever you want to tell them. You might think that wasn't exactly the way to grab people's attention. But we would be wrong. We would be wrong. This is indeed a very powerful and encouraging and comforting way for Matthew to begin the gospel, to write about the Lord Jesus Christ, to stress his importance, that this is someone that we need to pay attention to. This isn't someone that we're to discard. This isn't someone we're to ignore. This is someone that should captivate all of our attention. That's the way Christianity is, people of God. It's not one religion among many where you may say, oh no, it's religion again. That's not the area of the library that I wanted to be in. That's not the kind of book I want to read. Give me a novel. Give me a crime story. Oh yeah, that's good. But religion doesn't exactly get us excited. Big mistake. Absolutely a huge mistake. The Lord Jesus Christ is that light that God shone into the world in light of the fact that the world was in darkness and in misery, without hope. That it was destroying itself, as we have it in this world today. I mean, without Christianity, what hope is there for this world? When they turn on one another, when they kill one another indiscriminately, no mercy, all supposedly in the name of religion. They want to have the nations come together, United Nations. Never has the world been divided. But they have all these religions. Why does that help them? In fact, many of the things are done in the name of religion. And yet, where does it get them? Nowhere. Nowhere. Because they turn away from what Matthew is calling them to, which is to focus their minds and hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, by giving this genealogy, takes the whole subject of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming out of one generation and puts it in the context of our whole creation, from the beginning of the world to the end. Christ is the focal point of this whole creation. And it's ironic that though many nations reject and ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he is the center of history. I mean, they hate it. And so in our liberal institutions, we don't like to divide the history into before and after Christ. I mean, they think that's so terrible. And so now we have to go to the common era terminology so we can get Christ out of that. But still, even if you use common era, it's still from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, how ironic God's purposes are, that even in the dates that they use, it's a reminder to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the focal point of all history. We look back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Matthew says, all the people of faith in the Old Testament looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was their hope. And so lest you think that perhaps it's just because of your family, just because the country that you live in, that's why, and maybe these people might be a little odd, you know, maybe mistaken. Matthew's gospel is telling us, no. Our faith is not some one generation generated religion. No. It came from the beginning of time. Beginning of time. Matthew, of course, doesn't go all the way back to Adam and Eve, but Luke does. So if we take the Gospels together, they go from the beginning of time, from that first parent. That it was all tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be the seed of the woman, which is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not something that's started sometime in history, like so many other religions. No. What we believe is the truth, which was from the beginning. And so this is a tremendous subject that we have to bring to this world. As Isaiah says, a light has shone. We need to draw attention to this light. As John's Gospel says, light has come into the world. But the world didn't like that light. They tried to put it out. No, young people and children, we need to understand that. The truth that we believe and your parents believe is a truth that has been precious to all people of faith from the beginning of time. It doesn't go in and out of fashion with us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And no matter what the world does to cast doubt on that, to undermine that, and to persuade us that we're just some small minority being led by people that are very gifted in manipulating us. No, no, no. This goes from generation to generation to generation. And so that's encouraging for us. So this is not just about names, right? Otherwise you get bored and you think, well, these are old names, what are we doing? No, no, no. It's an important lesson. That's why Matthew begins the way that he does. So the people that we have on this list were all sinners like you and like me. So we ought to be careful that when we read this genealogy, that we don't read it as though these were the best of the best. That's not the way, the way to look at them. Because they weren't the best of the best. If you're well versed in the Old Testament, then as I read some of those names, then perhaps in your minds, the stories were brought up in regard to those names. And Matthew himself helps us do that, right? Matthew doesn't try and color this in such a way that these were all the best of the best, because he names some people. For example, Judah begot Perez and Zerah, and then he says, by Tamar. I mean, he didn't say that about Abraham, did he? He didn't say Abraham begot Jacob by Sarah. He didn't say that. So now why change? After two or three names, now all of a sudden change and throw in a woman's name. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Was she someone really special? And so we needed to put her name up there? More special than Sarah? Sarah's name is not mentioned. Rebecca's name is not mentioned. So why hers? What was so special about her? Nothing was special. In and of herself. The relationship, as you may remember, between Judah and Tamar was that Judah was her father-in-law. Judah was Tamar's father-in-law. And yet her name is mentioned. Why? What puts her on that name? Faith puts her on that. Faith puts her on that. Her father-in-law was the one that declared that she was more righteous than him. It was a fact that she had faith. But she did this deed of pretending to be a loose woman and sleeping with her father-in-law because he would not give one of his sons to her when God killed his son for the way that he acted. But she isn't the only one. As we've mentioned all of these other people, and then again we come to Salmon begat Boaz, and again a woman's name comes up, Rahab. Again, she must have been special. Well, not exactly. When you know the story, not at all. She was a loose woman to whom the spies went. So why is she put on this list? Because she was a woman of faith. From prostitution to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, not only is she included in this list, but then when you realize what the list is, it's the messianic line. Not only is she included in the people of God, she's given this wonderful privileged position of being in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, with David. David begot Solomon. And again, by her name is not mentioned, by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So Solomon was the product of adultery. And of the worst kind. Because it was one of David's warriors. And one that would give his life for David. And yet he took his life. Not because he fought for him in battle, which is what he was doing, but betrayed by the commander-in-chief. That name is mentioned. Certainly not sugarcoating. Certainly not putting the best that we could put up. I mean, if that was Matthew's intent, he didn't have to put these names on. He could have conveniently just picked the so-called good ones. Right? But he puts them down. He knows what he's doing. Because what he wants to emphasize is that this list isn't a list that you get on by being good, by doing good works, by reaching a certain level of holiness, by being the best of the best, as it were. No. The family of faith is exactly that. It's a family of faith. It's a family that is made up of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that sat in darkness and saw the light and embraced the light by the faith that God gives to them and that they exercise in embracing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People of God, this is one branch of the family of faith. It's not all the family of faith, it's one branch. But enough to show that the hope of this world is in the family of faith. And you and I, as this family tree continues to grow, you and I need to be part of that family. And that's the glorious thing about it, is that we can. Because the Bible speaks about this tree and branches being cut off and others being put in, grafted in. You and I have this wonderful privilege of being part and parcel of this family tree of God. Not necessarily, not of this branch that led, of course, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but certainly to be part and parcel of that ancestry. You're not to look at yourself and say, oh, I don't deserve to be part of it. Neither did they. Not that we ought to say, well, there's a dark spot in my past and I'm ashamed of it, and I don't think that God would want me in this family tree. No. He does. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's what Hebrews says about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many things in our lives. I mean, talk about black sheep of the family. We're all black sheep. But he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. So we need to be encouraged by this cloud of witnesses that do not point to themselves and say, look how wonderful we are. Try harder and you can reach our level. No. All of them, as in Hebrews 11, are telling us that it is by faith. It's by faith that they're able to do all the things that they did. Even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how, as I said, how encouraging for us to hear and to read about these people and understand the lives that they lived and the things that they did. And yet, God in his wonderful mercy and grace gives them such a privileged position. So we need to rejoice. We need to be part of that. But not only are they corrupt ancestors, but that they are chosen ancestors. These people of whom we are speaking didn't search God out. They didn't go looking for God. They didn't have so much wisdom that they figured out by looking at the creation and thinking about everything they saw all around them and studying it and came to the conclusion that this is the right way to go. No, they didn't. They didn't. When it was staring them in the face, they rejected it. That's our first parents, Adam and Eve. If anyone should have embraced it in faith, it should have been them. But they didn't. They rejected it. They polluted everything. And even our father Abraham, as Matthew begins with. Abraham, what was he doing? He hadn't even learned the basics of Romans chapter 1. He was living in a land worshipping the moon and the sun. He didn't say, this is foolishness. I need to believe in the God of God. No, he had to be called by God. God called him to leave his land, to leave his family, and to follow him. People of God, we don't meditate on these things as religion and then decide in our own wisdom that this is the best among all the religions of the world. If that's the case, then our children may say, well, you know, maybe that's your choice, but that's not my choice. I like some of the things that this religion says. No. In terms of what we say to our children and to our friends, it's not that this is my answer to the meaning of life and which religion is best. No. None of us claims that. It's because God has chosen us. It's because God has caused his light to shine into our hearts and minds. We were just as blind as everybody else. We were making the same decisions as everyone else, that we didn't like any religion at all. We wanted to make our own religion and do whatever we wanted to do. So why are we different? Why did we change? Why did we pick this particular religion? It's not necessarily that we were born in that religion. I wasn't born into Christianity. And so all the people that say, well, I was born this, it's utter nonsense. You didn't make any decision to think about it at all. You're just going with the flow. You're just going with that's what you're surrounded with. And when it doesn't suit your fancy, you let it go. No. God is the one that draws us and calls us. And so we don't want to present ourselves as sophisticated and intelligent and thinking all of these things through, and we weighed all the religions and we came to this one. No, none of us did. None of us did. So why did we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God opened our hearts and our minds and shone the light of His truth into our hearts and minds so that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't claim anything for ourselves. We may be educated as far as this world is concerned and have degrees and stuff behind our name, or we may not be. But nevertheless, the manner in which we came to the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly the same. That God caused His light to shine into our hearts so that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that elected us before the creation of the world. He's the one that chose us. He's the one that engrafted us into Himself. He's the one that paid for our sins, even as we read in Isaiah chapter 9. All of our sins, and there were many. He paid for them in full. That's what it means by double. In other words, there was no shortage. There was no falling short of what was demanded of us by the justice of God. He met all of it and said, "It is finished." We, each and every one of us, contributed nothing towards that. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It was all through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these people on the list, and as I said, there's many others on the list, not on this particular branch, but on this particular tree. There are many others. Every single one of them, you cannot name me one that won the right to be on that list. Every single one of them was by grace. And so you shouldn't be daunted by this list and this tree. You shouldn't say, "But I'm not worthy. I haven't done enough to be on that list." None of us has. None of us has. It is by grace. By grace are you saved through faith. And so we need to turn to this person that Matthew wants to turn all our attention to. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, is a certain hope. And it's been certain from day one, when God made that promise to Adam and Eve, that the seed of the woman is going to break this friendship, break this hold, break this relationship into which the devil has brought them by his deception. And they have entered willingly by their own sinfulness, that He's going to break that and bring them back into fellowship and union with God, the Creator. And so these promises are written down in the Scriptures. And the embracing of those promises are given to us in these genealogies of faith. So we are not to think that, "Oh, I'm just being fooled. How do I know this is true? How do I know that I'm not just being unduly influenced by certain people?" No, no, no. This is not one generation thing. This has been from the beginning. We didn't fabricate this. No group of people fabricated this. How are you going to fabricate something that starts in the beginning, in the creation, and continues through every generation? What does it take to coordinate all of these people over all of these years? You cannot. You cannot. This is a truth that was from the beginning, and God gave promises along the way so that we would be certain about these truths. And we mentioned that before. Not only did he give promises to Adam and Eve, but he gave promises to Abraham, and he took an oath so that these promises would be a practical anchor of the soul against all the doubts that the devil would bring. And so we have all of these names and all of the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, to show from each generation, the truth of God's word bearing fruit in the lives of people, all kinds of people. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Don't let the devil argue that this is just some human idea that's gotten hold. But it's not the only idea. There are many others. No, no, no. This is not our ideas. This is God's wonderful word that's given and promised. But let me say, it is experienced by faith. It is experienced by faith. It doesn't come simply because you are a family member of someone or parents that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No. If we wanted to follow this tree in more detail, I can show you where part of the family didn't believe. Part of them did. Even with Adam and Eve. Even with Abraham. There was an Ishmael. Not only an Isaac. There was an Esau. Not only a Jacob. So it doesn't just happen automatically, like citizenship, that children inherit from their parents. No, absolutely not. It's experienced by faith. And by the way, faith isn't something that is abstract and God just takes note of it and puts us down. No, no, no. Faith is something that is exercised. Faith is exercised by you and by me. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence that God has chosen us and is working in us because we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what all of these people did, even though they saw it a long way off. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. People of God, each and every one of us needs to exercise the faith that God is pleased to give us by believing in Him and pledging our allegiance to Him and only Him. And that is something that you can't forget. That is something that's not just done without thinking. That would be like somebody proposing to someone, never actually doing it, just assume it's done. No, 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 it's not assumed to be done. You have to do it. You have to ask. You have to commit to one another in terms of the marriage. That's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't just one day wake up and say, oh, now I'm a Christian. No, no, no. No. You embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And then your name is also added to this great cloud of witnesses that all have their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of their faith. People of God, this genealogy is not done. It continues to grow. And you, by faith, can be part of that wonderful church of God, the people of God, who live in the light of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for these wonderful truths that you have inscripturated for us so that they would not be denied and undercut, even though many still try to do that. But our Father, the truth is so ample and extending over hundreds and thousands of years. And yet, our Father, we understand that to the unbelievers, the whole amount of evidence is rejected by unbelief and by their blindness. But we are so thankful that you are a God that grants faith, that you shine into our dark hearts and minds, and you draw us to yourself as we are witnesses of that. And our Father in heaven, we pray that more and more may hear this glorious gospel and may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be added to your family, to your kingdom. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless this message to our hearts, to the hearts of our children, to our friends, and to all that come and hear the glorious truth of the gospel. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond.